You're listening to the Parkway Podcast.
As soon as you veer off the path that God has for you, you can, of course, start to think that you're making the right choice or doing the right thing, but all you're doing is distancing yourself from God and hurting not only yourself, but your friends, your family, and your lineage. Why? Because any city that is built by man is not of God. See, Cain said, because I have made a few bad decisions, I am now going to not only flee, but I'm going to try and create or build something good out of the problems that I've been running from. You see, what Cain did from man's perspective, some of us would say, is admirable. Created a life for himself, had children, built a city, named it after his son, but the problem is God was not involved in any of it. Any city that God is not the foundation of will never be a city with long-term success.
Hi, this episode is from our prayer and worship nights. We gather every Sunday night at 5 p.m. for a deeper and intense style service. Each Sunday night features a new worship team and a speaker from various ministries here at Parkway. The service ends with a time of intentional prayer as we respond to God's word, pray for our community, and pray for one another. If you missed a service, you can catch up on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, YouTube Podcasts, or online at parkwaycc.com/sermons.
Hey, it's good to see everyone. We're so glad you're here tonight to worship and see what God has in store for us. Before we get started, I just want to share a quick story with you guys to kind of encourage you and just give you an idea of what God's up to. So we just got back from OIC, and there's this one young man in our youth group who I would say he's been struggling recently, and kind of the last few years has been struggling to follow God and do what God has for him. And it's one of those things where, you know, you pray and you believe that God's going to move in someone's life, but over time it can become discouraging. But this last weekend, this young man came up to me and he began to tell me about how God had moved in his heart and how he was convicting him, and he was in tears as he was telling me what God was doing in his life. So my encouragement for you guys is, no matter how long the dry season's been, no matter how long you've prayed for that individual, no matter how long you've prayed for that breakthrough, over time, God shows up when it matters. So that's what we're believing for tonight. So as the worship team begins to play, I just ask that you believe with me. So dear Jesus, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you want to move in our lives tonight. We thank you that this is not any ordinary Sunday night, because when you enter the room, unordinary things happen. So we just believe this and we invite you into this space. In your name, amen. Hey, as I invite Pastor Chase up, I just wanted to let you guys know we have a few things going on that we want to make sure you guys know about. The first is, every Sunday night when we do this service, we actually get the area set up about 45 minutes in advance. So if you want to come and just hang out, play cornhole, throw a football, whatever, and just connect, we will have all that stuff out and ready by about 4:15. So next week, if you want to get beaten cornhole, I'm just kidding. I'm not very good cornhole. Actually, Pastor Jay will beat you because he's actually really good at cornhole. I'll watch Pastor Jay beat you. But if you want to be a part of that, want to connect, next or every Sunday, we'll be out there. All right, Pastor Chase. Want to give Pastor Chase a round of applause?
Good evening, everyone. I'm going to steal one of these guys. I was thinking about possibly grabbing this podium, but I figured that's Pastor St. John's podium, so I can't utilize that one. I got to make sure that the holy podium stays intact for Thursday morning. So, no, we love our traditions family. Before I get started tonight, I just want to first and foremost say thank you, Pastor Jason, for allowing me to be able to come up and speak. It's an honor to be able to always grab this microphone, and apparently I'm not doing too bad because he still has me grab the microphone. So I'm doing at least all right, so we're getting there. As we dive into this tonight, I have a couple stories that I'm going to intro with, but then after we do so, we're going to dive into Genesis chapter 4 here in a short moment. But really, cities have always intrigued me. Ever since I was a young kid, my parents are actually here tonight, and ever since I was a young kid, I would often tell my mom, hey, eventually one day I want to go to New York City just to be able to look at it. I'm not one of those people that would like to live in a big city, but I do like visiting big cities. So I've been fortunate enough to be able to live by places like San Francisco, being able to travel to places like Phoenix, Arizona, being able to go to Portland for a short time, so help us all. And then also, for my honeymoon, I was able to actually go to Paris, France, and so that was incredibly fun. I lost like 13 pounds while I was there because I didn't eat anything and I walked everywhere. But it was an absolute joy. But honestly, one of the greatest stories that I have as far as bigger cities type go is actually the first date that I ever took my wife on. And it was to Sacramento, California. And my parents actually ended up grabbing us some Sacramento Kings basketball tickets and for Christmas. Yeah, I would say yay for being in a drought for 20 plus years. But hey, the Sacramento Kings, it was still fun date night. But long story short, they grabbed me the tickets, and we end up, I plan that we're going to get to this parking garage that's so close, and they have these new fancy apps that allow you to find different parking garages that are close to these major attractions. So whether you go to a football game, basketball game, and so forth, one of the things I looked up is I hopped on this app and I went and grabbed us a parking garage. Well, little did we know that the weather was not going to turn out maybe as great as what we originally thought it was, and it was actually going to start raining fairly well on this night, but no biggie. I grabbed a parking garage. I was 0.1 miles away. I was like, I'm going to be a fantastic, you know, first date boyfriend, going to plan it all. We went and grabbed some dinner, heading on the way. Traffic started getting a little bad, and long story short, we get to the parking garage. We hop out, we start walking, and then I type it into my GPS on how far away the Sacramento Kings basketball arena is, and it is not 0.1 miles, let me just tell you. Not only is it not only 0.1 miles, it's getting close to be a little over a mile. Not only is it a little over a mile, but then the rain starts pouring. The rain starts pouring so bad that we start getting soaked. We get about 3/4 of the way there, and I go to go take out to make sure I have the tickets in my back pocket, and I only have one ticket. Oh, this is already not going well. So me already getting really frustrated, thinking to myself, I've got no shot. Leanna's never going to go on a date with me again, okay? There's no way that she's ever going to want to try to do this again. She, the positive individual that she is, she was just like, so, oh, this is awesome. This is such a fun adventure, right? Whether or not she actually believed it during then, she says she does. I don't know if she actually did. It's just such a fun adventure. Well, you know what? Why don't we just go back to the car, and we'll just go do something else for the night. Long story short, we start walking back to the car. And then she goes, no, let's just go. Let's just see what happens. Let's walk up to the front. We'll give them the ticket, see what happens. We walk up to the front. That we give the lady the ticket that are sopping wet because it was drenched. Sopping wet. And she goes, you know what? I can't even scan the barcode on these things because they're so wet. So I don't know if we can let you in. This just keeps getting worse. And so finally she looks at me and she looks at my then girlfriend, but now of course my wife, and she looks at both of us. She goes, you know what? I think you guys have, it was already at halftime. I forgot that big detail. It was already halftime by the time we got there. Oh my goodness, at the time, it was horrible. Long story short, she rips the ticket. She goes, I think we can get you guys in the old fashioned way. I'll trust you. She rips both the tickets in half, lets us walk in. We sit down and the buzzer goes off for halftime. And I remember thinking to myself, I'm never going on a second date. Luckily, it ended up turning out a lot better than what I thought it was going to be because, of course, you know, my wife and I eventually got married, and we, of course, had plenty of other trips going to bigger cities, but I did do a better job planning on our second date. I'll just tell you that. So I did okay. But before we dive into this, Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 15 is where we're going to be reading today. But before we get into this, this is going to be talking about the story of Cain. And really, the story of Cain has often intrigued me. At first, when I think about the story, he was the first baby to rest in the arms of a mother. Cain was the first known case of a child being spoiled. He got all the cool gifts for his birthday, received all of mom and dad's attention, never attended school or played with other children, never had to wait his turn to go down the slide at recess, didn't have to be taught to share or be told no when they were going to have their other kid pick out the ice cream for their dessert for the night. He never got told no. And so as we dive into this, I just want our mindset to be framed around this idea of Cain and Abel. Adam and Eve, of course, had their firstborn son, Cain, and Eve, don't know why I completely forgot the woman's name in that sentence. Eve said, with the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man. Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. In verse 3, In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord, and Abel also brought offering fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. See, before we dive into these later verses, I often think, what did Cain think when Abel, that little bundle of joy, arrived to join the family? Did he become jealous when his younger brother started to receive increasing attention? Was the jealousy something that was built up over time, or did he think that his spotlight was over? Did Adam and Eve even favor Abel maybe a little bit more? Parents, I don't want you to respond, but do you have a favorite child? No, I'm not going to ask that tonight. We're not going to get into that. But it goes on to further say in verse 8, now Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go out to the field. While they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is your brother Abel? I don't know, he replied, am I my brother's keeper? Now we could stop here and probably talk about jealousy and how jealousy can turn into rage and anger and the reason why Cain killed, but I want to keep reading tonight because there's a lesson I want to give. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 10, it says, the Lord said, what have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth. Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is more than I can bear. Today you are driving me from the land, and I will be hidden from your presence. I will be a restless wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. In verse 15, but the Lord said to him, not so. Anyone who kills Cain will suffer vengeance seven times over. Then the Lord put a mark on Cain so that no one who found him would kill him. We read in verse 15 to reiterate that even though Cain killed, God still protected. He gave Cain a mark so that anyone who tried to kill him would not know or not try to actually get their vengeance on Cain, because really they would be able to take it sevenfold. But to take Cain, to be honest, when I think about Cain, it's incredibly important to wonder what his next steps were. Cain feels like he needs a change of scenery, and the later portion of the scripture talks about how he decides to go off and do his own thing. So it says that Cain started to build his own foundation or build his own city. So Cain then takes off, does something that no one's done before, builds his own city. He was the first child, the first murderer, and the first builder of a city. Now, if you were to think about this as a movie, I bet you would get like 100% on Rotten Tomatoes and get a 5-star review and pretty impactful and really just a lot of stuff inside this chapter that's for to be put into a movie. But Cain travels away. He has a kid, names him Enoch, and starts to build a city and name the city after his newborn son. Now, immediately us in this room go, oh, man, that's cute. That's awesome. You know, he built a city, immediately named it after his son. Super cool. As soon as you veer off the path that God has for you, you can, of course, start to think that you're making the right choice or doing the right thing, but all you're doing is distancing yourself from God and hurting not only yourself, but your friends, your family, and your lineage. Why? Because any city that is built by man is not of God. See, Cain said, because I have made a few bad decisions, I am now going to not only flee, but I'm going to try and create or build something good out of the problems that I've been running from. You see, what Cain did from man's perspective, some of us would say, is admirable. Created a life for himself, had children, built a city, named it after his son, but the problem is God was not involved in any of it. Any city that God is not the foundation of will never be a city with long-term success. I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about, has anyone ever done the Ancestry.com tests, and you've been able to see kind of what your lineage is and so forth? I was reminded as I was doing this, and I'm going to, here in a second, we're going to pop up a picture, and I'll get out of the way about Cain's ancestry, and we're going to look at Cain's ancestry and lineage. You see, Cain's son Enoch, before we show up the picture, is not the famous Enoch that we even think of in Scripture. There's another famous Enoch, and we'll get to him in a second. Cain's son Enoch grew up in his dad's city, which eventually became a city of murderers. It was built by man, not of God. It was filled with man's attempt at success, and Enoch's lineage continued to be built of shambles. Enoch actually continued to raise his children and his children's children up as murderers. Later on in this family tree, there's this guy named Lamech, and Lamech turned out to also be a murderer, which is part of the lineage of Cain. We read that in Genesis 4, 23 and 24. Now, at this point, up until this scripture in Genesis 4, 23 and 24, I often think about how Satan at this point probably thought, man, I won. I got this. I got one up on the Adam and Eve family. I had Cain become jealous, and his jealousy turned to anger, and the anger turned to rage, and it motivated Cain to kill. Cain will run away, and the lineage of Adam and Eve will be ruined. I've done it. Enoch will not be able to succeed in a city of murderers, and it will cause the lineage of Cain to become more murderers, hence the great-great-grandson of Enoch, Lamech, which eventually became a murderer. But where Satan causes havoc, God gives the appointed. We didn't read it, but further down the line of Adam and Eve, they have this other son named Seth. And Chris, here in a short moment, if you can be able to throw that up, that way everyone can see. We didn't read it, but further down this line, Seth was born. And it created this other lineage inside the Adam and Eve lineage. Now, Seth made a choice to not be like his brother Cain, and he decided to not follow in his footsteps and instead trusted God through it all. Seth's lineage leads to a guy named Enoch, and this is the more famous Enoch that we read often in Scripture. This is the Enoch that walked with God. This Enoch, who is the great-grandfather of this other guy named Lamech, and really in that lineage, Lamech, in Seth's lineage, was a good father, and the reason why we know this is because of the popular guy named Noah. See, Lamech in Seth's family tree was the father of Noah. The guy with the boat, Noah, like that kind of Noah. The guy who built a boat, put animals on it, and saved mankind, that Noah. And I often am reminded that when I'm looking at this lineage and looking at this just this powerful visual, that where Satan causes havoc, God gives the appointed. To summarize this recap of this lineage, Cain's son Enoch got a city full of murders named after him. Seth's Enoch never died and was taken up by God to walk with him and talk with him. One was taken by God to the holy city, while the other was stuck in his. Cain's lineage led to Lamech, who was another murderer. Seth's lineage led to Lamech, who raised Noah. Lamech followed in Cain's shoes and killed, while Lamech and Seth's lineage raised Noah, who would save humankind by building a boat. God said, where there is havoc, I will give you the appointed. I bet you God would have loved to walk with both Enochs. Or both Lamechs would have loved to have children that eventually saved the world. But because Cain got jealous, murdered, and then tried to pave his own path, which in return caused his son being unable to prosper, like the lineage of Seth prospered. Cain's path caused a lineage of murderers. God's path raised a lineage of saviors. I feel like God's trying to prove a point. If you choose your own path, it leads to rubble. You choose mine, it leads to life. Seth comes into the picture, the appointed. He shows up, and God says, where there was brokenness, I'll make a family whole again. Where there was no hope, God said, here's a promise. Here's another son, and in his lineage will be a group of saviors. The reason why I brought this up, and this is actually a message that I've drafted quite a time back. And just to be completely frank and honest tonight, as we get ready to even head into a moment that I feel like as a congregation, I'd love for us to be able to spread across this room and be able to spend some time in prayer about the takeaways of tonight. I was often wondering why I was having such a difficult time preparing for tonight. And the Lord kept drawing me back to this thought that I had prepared some years back. And in my head, I was thinking to myself, why, Lord, are you wanting me to bring up a lineage and a city and have all of our individuals who are here, who are wanting to be here, talk about something that often all of us in this room would go, well, no duh, Chase, you know, pastor, not nothing new, right? That kind of makes sense. I want to be able to have a good lineage. I want to be able to have a family that's serving and diving after the Lord. But as we prepare to close, I was reminded of a story that I want to read you guys tonight, and then this will get us into our thought that I'm going to tie in with Pastor Jason's message last week. There was a mystery that happened a couple years back. I believe it was about 2 years back now, and they called it the Great Sheep Mystery. Now, this is a true story. You can go look it up. It's quite funny, actually, and it's actually a real thing. A flock of sheep in China had been filmed walking continuously in a circle for 12 days. Baffling people across the globe, the sheep were walking in circles for day after day after day after day. People could not figure out why or how it started, but that the sheep started and could not stop. The phenomenon captured on video and posted on Twitter, now, of course, X, but long story short, was posted on Twitter, shows the sheep walking in a circle on a farm in Inner Mongolia. Now, they later came out with a handful of assumptions or possibilities that could have happened, but the most likely and the only logical possibility is that one sheep decided to go off and do his own thing. He started to walk in a circle and caused the direction or the trajectory of the other sheep to follow right in line with the same direction the first sheep made. The owner of the farm, identified as Miss Miao, told local news outlets that there were only a few sheep displaying the behavior at first, but gradually the whole flock started following suit. The problem with building your own city or making your own choices or starting to walk on your own path is that you start creating a pattern or a routine of ungodly cities, choices, or decisions. Not only for yourself, but for those who are walking right behind you. The reason why I was struggling so much, and really what the Lord gave me for this last portion, which is brand new that I want to be able to give to you guys tonight, is as I was reading over this lesson, I read over this lesson four times. And as I was reading over this lesson, asking the Holy Spirit to be able to share with me what he has for our congregation, how we're going to be able to close it tonight as a band can get ready to come back up, I kept asking the Lord, why? Why do you want to speak to this group of people? These are the ones that are showing up on Sunday nights, as we would often say in my family, the diehards, the individuals who are here. So what does the Holy Spirit want to be able to do? And as Pastor Jason mentioned last week, the Holy Spirit has rhythm. The Holy Spirit is reminding us that if you want my rhythm, you need to give up your routine. We talked about rhythm last week, and as I was sitting over listening to Pastor Jason's message and his devotion and his encouragement to our church, is that the Holy Spirit has a rhythm. But what the Holy Spirit wants to remind us tonight is don't allow your rhythm to turn into routine. Traditions, folk, whatever, I don't want to offend anyone tonight. Elderly, those who are running down the home stretch, however you want to phrase it tonight. Try to do my best to be able to encompass as best as possible. The encouragement that the Holy Spirit wants to give to you is God hasn't called you home, so you're not done yet. You're not done. Finish strong. Continue to lead. You've got great influence. Continue to use it. You're still building your city. Don't quit now. Continue to fulfill the call that God has given you. Adults in the room, it's time to prioritize our spiritual walks over our natural ones. The reason why you say right now that it's so hard for you to continue to build a godly foundation for you and your family is because oftentimes we're too focused on the dollar, the prestige, the car, the bigger house, more friends, whatever the case may be. You students in the room, we're only one generation away from having a land of Canes. City builders of pleasure, not of God. It is time to rise and be the lineage of saviors, not the lineage of murderers. And the second thing that the Lord reminded me, and as I was already mentioning this earlier, is that if we're not careful, we can substitute the rhythm for the routine. Last week, Pastor Jason alluded to this, and if we are not careful, we can build our lives around Sunday night services, midweek ministries, small groups, which are all wonderful, wonderful things. I don't want you guys to be able to mishear or have the enemy come in and try to be able to speak something that isn't. These are all wonderful things. These things are not bad things, but God wants to remind us that if you exchange my rhythm for your routine, you can come to Sunday nights, Wednesday nights, Thursday mornings, quarterly breakfasts, and never have the move that I have intended for you. You can have a service, but if you don't have me, it isn't worth it. You can have ministries, but without expectation, the Holy Spirit won't come. You could be longing for the Holy Spirit's rhythm, but if you replace it with man-made routine, revival will not take place. And so as we get ready to be able to spend a moment with our Heavenly Father tonight, spend a moment where the Holy Spirit can be able to just prompt us with a couple takeaways, and then Pastor Jason's going to come up and close this service. I just want us to take some time with the roughly 6 or 7 minutes that we have left, and I want us to space out across this room and just ask the Holy Spirit, what's the takeaway for tonight? Is it for me, do I just need to start building a godly foundation, a godly city? Or maybe for some of us, we're too busy just here on a Sunday night because it's part of our routine when the Holy Spirit is calling us to a time of rhythm with him. So as we get ready to spend some time all across this place, if you guys can be able to stand up, be able to make your way all across, if you want to come forward, turn your chair into an altar, we're going to spend the next 5 or 6 minutes and then Pastor Jason's going to come up and close us. Whatever it is, I just want us to take a minute and ask what the Holy Spirit wants us to be able to grow in tonight. If for you, if you're too busy focusing on routine and not the rhythm of the Holy Spirit, then have that be what the Holy Spirit talks to you about tonight. Maybe for some of us in this room where you feel like, man, my time's over, it's not over, you're still breathing, you still got breath in your lungs, it's time for you to continue building the God city that you have. So my encouragement all across this room as the band gets ready to take off, let's just spend a couple moments with him tonight.
Yes, just in your own way, would you just lean into this moment, maybe stretch up your hands, maybe begin to cry to the Lord out loud. Say, just begin to pray a prayer like this. Lord, we need you. We are desperate for you. We're not here on a Sunday night because we just want to go through the motions. We're here because we're desperately in need of a touch from you. Father, we want to line up with your rhythm, not just what our routine is. We want to hunger and thirst after you. We want to know you. We don't want to just know about you. Just so we can go to the next place in this service tonight, just before we get ready to close, so that we know, we all know where we're at. I've had the privilege of being your pastor now for just a little over 2 years now. I've had many conversations with you individually, corporately, as a staff, together as a team. And one of the greatest kinds of conversations that I have loved to have with each and every one of you is to reminisce about the moves of God that we have been a part of. When I think about the moves of God that have happened at Parkway in the past, and the moves of God that have happened at churches, like that, I'm going to tell you the names of these churches and you won't even know who they are or what they are. But my wife's grandfather's church was called New Life in Marysville, California. There was a bona fide move of God that took place in that area, that my family was won to the Lord because people were willing to pay the price. And then I was able to be a part of a move of God in this town where I came from called Vacaville, and God did some incredible things. And so wave your hand if you've ever been part of a move of God before, you know, or, so you know what I'm referencing. I feel like we're getting ready at Parkway to walk through a door that is going to be a move of God that's not for us in this room, just for us in this room, but it's for the unnamed that we don't even know yet. Are you tracking with me? I recognize, and this is what I'm going to say the quiet part out loud, the move of God is going to require a maturity that a 42-year-old first-time lead pastor cannot possess, should not possess. It's going to require a maturity of our youth pastor and of our kids pastor that is going to have to be beyond their years. It's going to require a togetherness that should only take place with a group like ours being together in for 10 or 15 or 20 years. But if we wait that long, the move of God is going to pass by us. I want you to track with me. The greatest definition of revival that I have heard in the last 10 years is this, is when God does things in moments that should take years. In moments. That's why these Sunday nights are so important, is because Pastor Chase stands up here as a first-time youth pastor on full-time staff, and God is going to have to equip him to be a youth pastor like he's been a youth pastor for 10 years, but he's only been a youth pastor for a year. You guys have watched my evolution on Sunday mornings, correct? One of my favorite things to do is when I get knee-deep in something I don't even know I'm getting knee-deep in is when I look at Jason Elliman and he's laughing at me in service because he sees me sort of spurring a church on, and he's going, well, bro, you're getting yourself in trouble, but I'm here for it. It's a beautiful thing to have partners to where we all know what's happening in this room, correct? We all know what's happening in this room. What's happening in this room is God so desperately wants to send revival, and the definition of revival is things that would normally take years, he does in moments. He combines hearts. He combines mission. He grows exponentially in gifts. I can tell you right now that God is speaking to some of you to share a certain word of wisdom for our congregation right now. And right now, we might not have the relationship to be able to do it, but God. God has a way of speeding up things that normally take years, and he has a way of bringing them together in moments. And so the great journey that we have on Sunday nights, or even Sunday mornings for that, is to be able to lock in faith together and say we are going to lean in, because the revival that we need to hit our valley is not through a door that's supposed to take place 10 or 15 years from now. It's actually supposed to take place today. Let me give you the feeling that I get off of Pastor Chase's message. Come here, Jace. Stand up. Hurry quickly, Jace. Come on. This is my, as you guys know, my 12-year-old son. In 10 years, if the move of God hits Parkway, it is too late for this young guy.
Yeah.
Jamie, and if 10 years go by, it's too late for that young one sitting on your lap. And the pressure, in a good way, the burden that I feel as your pastor is that we are going to have to lean in together and pray for a move of God. And again, a move of God, a revival, is that when God does something in moments, that it would take years. Because this young man, as a representation of young people in our church right now, this young man needs to come into an atmosphere where men and women of God are crying out to God, that creates the atmosphere that he can have his own encounter with Jesus. We're doing this tonight because of Jethro. We're doing this tonight because of Dawson. We're doing this tonight because the next generation needs to see a group of people rising up and saying, I don't really care much about my routine. I care about the rhythm of the Holy Spirit. It's when I think about the young ones that are walking in the kind of atmosphere, I don't want them to be raised in a church that's believing for a move of God someday, but experiencing a move of God today. Yeah. So I'm going to ask us in this room to change our posture. Can we change our posture? Would you stand up all across this room? And I'm going to dismiss you in, let's say, 90 seconds. But my son, to my son, the reason why I moved from Vacaville to Grants Pass, it's because one day, your grandparents, Papa and Mima, they moved from Marysville to Vacaville. And the reason why it's important for you to know that is because if people aren't willing to say yes to the next move of God, it renders void the past moves of God. Are you tracking it? If we do not say yes to the move of God that God wants to bring today at Parkway, it renders void the moves of God that God has done through Parkway in the past. And so the burden that we all have, the reason why, I just want you guys to know, the reason why we show up on a Sunday night, Dave, is because your daughter that's up here worshiping needs to know that the move of God that's upon us is so important for us to get behind that we'll do whatever it takes so the move of God comes. But what was so profound about Pastor Chase's word tonight was the routine of coming on Sunday night is not enough. We can show up to church and actually not be hungry enough to actually get to the move of God. How many has ever been to church where you didn't come expecting? I'll raise my hand. How many has been to church or part of a religious community that has a form of godliness, but it denies its power? I'll raise my hand. I've done that. I've been part of that church. And what I am saying and what I'm sensing in the first two Sunday nights is there's a path in front of us, Pastor Chase. We can go down the lineage or legacy of a path that creates the form of what God wanted in name, but doesn't actually produce the life. Or the choice that's in front of us is to be able to be that church in that moment that says, yes, God, I want the revival and I want the move of God. And what I feel like tonight in a great burden is how we're going to close this, is we're going to cry out. We're going to cry out for our sons and daughters. We're going to cry out for unnamed families that have yet to even step into Parkway. And God is calling us to be the catalysts, to be the covering for the move of God. And Lord, I declare, we need a revival in our church. We need, well, what would take months and years to happen, we need it to happen in moments. We need it to happen in moments. We need it to happen in moments. Could you do me a favor and let's go on an adventure? Could someone surround Pastor Chase right now and say, let's have a move of God in our youth pastors? Can someone surround our kids pastor right now? Our kids pastors, I know Justin and Kylie are right here, our middle school pastors. Can someone surround Pastor St. John right here? And these are just the covering of belief of saying, God, would you cause a revival? Those things which should happen in years, God, would you have them happen in days? And these are representatives of what you're wanting to do in our midst. Would you just sing a portion of a worship song? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Revival is when God does in moments what would take years to happen. And so, Lord, I set my faith and my expectancy that in the coming days and weeks and services, that you will bind the hearts of these people in this room together so that we can experience a move of your presence. A move where it seems like we've been a team for a long time. A move where it seems like young people are experiencing the move that we've been praying for. Not seems like, but they are experiencing a move that is so unique to their generation that it's going to cause them to say yes to the next move that you're going to ask them to go do. Lord, we pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Jace, I want you to grab this microphone, and I know you're going to be nervous, and it's okay to be nervous. But I felt like that there is something going to break amongst the young people in our youth group. Ever since we've been here, there has been this spirit of hesitancy that a lot of us that are older that have operated in because we don't know if we can act or should act. And I believe what young people have the ability to do is young people have the ability to set a pace that us old people can actually follow because you guys don't even know the rules. Do you know the rules? You don't even know the rules. And us old people, we're so bound up by rules. Can I say that or can I do this? And can I actually go pray for that person? That we've been praying that the spirit of hesitancy would leave our church. And so I want you to be nervous. I want you to stumble on your words. I want you to not even know what to pray. But I specifically would ask that you would pray and say, Lord, would you touch our generation? Would you touch my generation? And would you allow them to experience a move of God? All right? Everyone in this room is going to be your friend. We're just family. If you prayed horribly, we would tell you you prayed great. So there's no pressure. All right?
So, Lord, I pray for our youth group that through us that you would send a revival through Grants Pass and Medford and this valley, and that you would wipe the spirit of hesitancy away from this church, and that we would step out in faith and go and pray for the people of this valley, and that we would not be ashamed to show that this valley, that we are Christians, and that we will not wait for the move of God, we will go get the move of God.
In Jesus' name, amen and amen. This pastor loves you. Thank you guys for being here tonight.